Jenny Wright and her partner founded their marketing company in 2012. And with her background in retail, she had some things happen that made her realize she had a knack for marketing. The catalyst was a hard conversation that her boss had had with her about her performance. But then he decided to take her under his wing and shadow her on her sales and marketing tactics. And since then, she's learned a ton. Fast forward to now, and she's a staunch advocate for building relationships while being mindful that these days people's attention spans are incredibly short. But these aren't opposing goals. You can actually pursue both of these by having a short-term and a long-term game in mind. There's a lot to unpack in here and a really cool marketing tip at the end. After listening, find her on jennywright.com and take her regular challenge at jennywright.com/challenge. Also, listen to the podcast she co-hosts called System to Thrive. We're starting off talking a little about parenting, and then we'll get to the marketing stuff. Let's get going. Because, like, inside the house, we're going to have some company in about 5 hours or so. So my wife is vacuuming, and our four girls, they're like arguing over who gets to clean the toilets. And I'm like, good Pete, I'm going to go out and do a podcast. I need some daddy time. Need some time, quiet time, right?
Well, if you've got four, you said you have four daughters.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Yes. You need some daddy time.
Every day. It's self care. That's mental health.
My partner has three daughters.
Yeah.
And he needs daddy time.
Yes. We all do. We'll go insane. I've got a lot of, I'm going to get way too many gray and white hairs on my head and on my face if I
just wait.
Getting in there. I know.
It gets so much better.
I know. I know. It gets better. I thought you were like, I'll just wait.
No,
it's coming.
I meant that with some sarcasm because okay. How old are they?
10, 9, 6, and 4.
Yeah. You have got maybe 14 months of peace left with the eldest, and then things are just going to start happening.
Oh my goodness.
So she's daddy's little girl right now, and that's going to start to change. Do what my dad did. This saved our relationship.
What's that?
He took me out for coffee, and we sat and had a conversation, and he said, things are about to get different. Things are going to change between us, but I'm always there for you. I will, if you pick up the phone, I will be there, no questions asked, like that kind of stuff. Right? Because I could always call my dad and pick me up, even in the worst situation where I felt like an idiot, but he would rather I be safe and he wouldn't yell at me.
Right.
Right?
Judgment-free zone. Yeah.
Judgment-free. I'll always be there for you. I'll keep my promises. You know, you've got to keep an open line of communication, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like that was a save. That was a huge save because my mom didn't do that and it was very different, but my dad did that because my sister was older than me. And that didn't, you know, that relationship was a bit interesting. So when he came to me hitting that age, he was like, okay, here's what's going to happen. Right. And we talk about it even now. And he's in his 70s and I'm in my 40s.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Oh my goodness.
I highly recommend it.
For a second. And it's a great idea. And when you said, oh, you got 14 minutes of peace or 14 months of peace. I was thinking, oh my goodness, I'm going to have heart palpitations. But then, you know, I take our girls on daddy dates like all the time.
That's good.
And it's fun. They, you know, they pick a restaurant and we go and we just chill and talk and it's just us, you know, we get to talk about whatever. So
you're actually setting them up for success for whomever they end up dating if you do that.
Yeah. Well, I hope I'm raising the bar so that they don't just, you know, date some dingus, right? Like he at least has to be a better dingus than me. So, you know, that's this is the bar of perfection. This is peak performance, you know?
Got it.
I love it. It's awesome getting the chance to talk with you. I've had like a lot of marketers on, and, you know, across the board, there's like some common things that they've noticed, but then there's also some really different things. And I didn't realize how complex of a field marketing is. You know, I tell people often, I'm like, I'm not a marketer by choice, it's by force. You know, I'm a business owner myself, small business owner, and I've had to wear the marketing hat. This is it right here, by the way. I've had to wear the marketing hat and just learn as I go. And I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna make a podcast where I can maybe siphon some knowledge off of some other people who know things, right?
Totally.
So yeah, we'll kick it off here. Tell me a little bit about the company you're at. What does it do?
Well, the company I'm at is my own.
Okay. All right, cool.
And it's the company that my partner and I sort of founded together way back in like 2012. We had this idea we would eventually be in business for ourselves. We both were employed elsewhere. I used to be in the big box retail sort of environment, which was kind of neat. And then I moved into gold mining. And I didn't think that was going to be, I know, right? Everybody does that. Everybody makes a face like, what? Gold mining? Like
what?
Yeah. I worked in gold mining. I was an investor relations and communications in gold mining. I was the one writing the speeches and, you know, putting out press releases and attending shareholder meetings and all these kinds of things. And it wasn't tenable. It wasn't something that was going to last for me.
Right.
It was, I learned a lot, but the company that I'm at now, which is the company that, you know, is my, basically my name, is a online marketing and strategy company for online entrepreneurs and some brick and mortar, but 99% of them are online.
Okay. Very, very cool. Well, how did you get started in marketing? That's always a question I like to ask. Like, did you want to be a marketer when you grew up, or did you're working in the mines and you're like, this is not for me. Like what?
No, it goes further back.
Oh yeah.
I actually, when I was working for this big, originally when I went to school, my schooling, I wanted to work in environmental sciences. I wanted to be an environmentalist, right? I wanted to be this big environmentalist. I wanted to work with horses. I wanted to save the planet kind of stuff. And my parents were very, very determined that any daughter of theirs who was going to go to university was going to become a teacher. That was how they thought I could make a better place in the world. And I didn't want to be a teacher. And I actually flunked out of university the first time. I actually got kicked out by the fact that they went on strike and I didn't cancel a course in time. And when I came back, I had to reapply and have all these letters of recommendation. And I actually left the department I was in, which was French, because I'm bilingual. And I went into English and I didn't want to be a teacher. So I graduated with an English degree. While I was in university, I was paying for my university by working at this big box retailer that I'd mentioned to you just a little while ago. And they were moving me through all the different departments. I was learning all these different departments. And then I got injured. Mm-hmm. And with this company, when you're injured, they stick you in a like a small little office and have you call people whose big box retailer memberships have expired. And you're calling people saying, hi, it's Jenny from such and such big box retailer. And your membership is currently expired. We'd love for you to come in and renew it, blah, blah, blah. And you do this spiel. Well, I discovered that this particular company had a huge membership problem, massive membership problem with duplicates and all these issues. And I came up with a method with my boss at the time. I came up with a method to clear out the database of all these marketing issues. And it was something that put me on the map with the company. And they offered me a position in the marketing department.
Oh, cool.
I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
They threw me on the road and they said, go sign up new people for our business.
Right.
I am not a natural salesperson. I went into businesses and I'd be like, Michael, how's it going? I'm Jenny from such and such big box retailer. And I want you to pay me $53.50 for a membership. Cool. And you'd be like, what now? And I was like, yeah, it's the best. It's the greatest. Money now, please. Right? I was horrible. I was terrible. And I'd come back into the warehouse at the end of the day and they're like, how did it go? And I'm like, really bad. I got kicked out of four places. You know, one guy came on to me and told me I was better. My voice was better than me in person. It was hilarious. It was hilarious. But my mentor, my boss sat me down. And if you know big box retail stores, they always have these food courts, right? With like the cheap hot dogs and the pop.
Yep.
He sat me down in one of them. It was a Saturday. You know how busy these places are. He sat me down and he said, you need to change how you're doing this or I'm going to have to take you out of the department. Well, I would much rather go out on the road and sign up people for memberships than have to be put back on cash or work in the photo department or stock shelves.
Right.
So you want to stay in that position. I was like, I'll do anything. So he's like, I'm going to teach you how to sell. And then he shadowed me and he showed me how to sell and it clicked. Mm-hmm. And then I went from being like shark in, you know, a shark just trying to chomp at people without even paying attention to learning sales strategy and learning marketing strategy. And I went and I became one of the highest like the highest grossing salespeople for that particular company in the area that I was in the geographic market. Mm-hmm. And then they promoted me.
Yeah.
So that was my first, that's like long story short, but that, I mean, it's a super long story and it wasn't short, but that was my introduction into marketing. And then it was game on. Like, I was like, nobody's going to say no to me. And if they do, they better have a damn good reason.
I love it. I love it. No, it was a medium length story, but it was good though, because you know, the people that I have, there's a spark about certain folks where you see, okay, at some point in their lives, some point in their career, they have been like brought to the end of themselves. They were like, I legit do not know what the heck. And I know I'm doing it wrong, but I don't know how to do it any other way. And then to have somebody come alongside and be able to mentor you and guide you on how to do it better. And then it's also your boss. It's like, you know, that's pretty awesome. Now, did he at least buy you a hot dog or a pizza or something there? Did he make you pay for that as he dropped that bombshell? I hope he bought you some food.
Oh yeah. I got a churro.
Okay. All right.
Totally
cool.
Got a churro. Cool. It was awesome.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. Well, so you've been in the game for at least a little bit.
Since 2004. I've been doing marketing since about 2004, 2002, and I've been self-employed since March 2012.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. Well, I mean, like what are some things that you've noticed that has changed about marketing as a whole? Like, I know like way back when you started, you know, the way you marketed then is a lot different than what you do now, but like, what's different? What's really
attention
different about
span?
It?
Attention
oh, really?
Spans are so different. Oh my gosh.
Were they longer back then?
Yes. 100%. 100%. Like in 2004, 2002, which was the range when I was first learning my marketing and getting people on the phone or going to people in person, because I was doing cold calls and warm calls. Mm-hmm. It was all outbound marketing at the time. Their attention spans were a little bit longer. Now it is, don't call me, email me. And then you're sending, you know, 10 or 12 emails. And I'm not in that industry anymore, but that's what I was seeing when I was leaving that particular industry. But the industry that I'm in now, which is the online marketing and marketing strategy world, attention spans are incredibly short. They're at least half, if not more, of what they were. And you have, like, the pleasantries are gone. It's not, you know, trying to get to know people in certain ways. It's more, what are you trying to do? How is it going to help me? Is it going to solve my problem? Yay or nay? That's what they want to know. Now, the other thing that's changed, which is slightly on the other side of the scale, is the human connection side. People don't want companies hiding behind the logo anymore. People want the people to come outside of that and be in the front, talking to the people and connecting to the people. They don't want to, you know, you can see it just by the Twitter storms with Wendy's as an example, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so, or Steakums, yeah.
Or Steakums, or even Netflix has come out and done some pretty cool stuff. When the company comes out from behind the logo, behind the company persona, and interacts with people, they create that brand loyalty, right? And it's like, it's ride or die. They love that company. Like, you will, if you love the Wendy's stuff, you will go to Wendy's, or whatever other example you want to say. Right. And that is something that's happened, is that increased brand loyalty. It's like a fervor in some places. When it's come to the stuff that I'm doing, which is online summits, challenges, webinars, funnels. When I first started, you could start an online, like you could launch an online summit back in the day, and you could have the ugliest splash page you've ever seen in your life. The ugliest opt-in page with, like, you know, flashy colors and crazy banners, and 5,000 people would sign up and they would all be like happy to do it. Now you can put out an elegant page, which is what most people do now. And you might, you know, depending on what you can do, you might get a much smaller audience. And again, with that very short attention span, that's a huge, huge shift in the market, even from 2012 till now, with like these online events. And even more so, if you look back, like I was saying, even further back.
You know, when you list those two things like that, juxtaposed, as it were, it's like they almost seem counterintuitive, because yeah, our attention spans are shorter. Hurry up, get to the point. But be authentic, which it's like, that takes time, bro. Like, You know, yeah. you want me to hurry up or slow down? Like, I'm getting mixed signals here. So how do you get that to work together? How do you be authentic in a short amount of time so that people can hurry up and move on to different things? Like, what? I'm confused now. I'm breaking the script here. I'm not looking at my questions. I'm like, what the heck? I need an answer, right?
Exactly. And it's very confusing for the new marketers, mm-hmm. the people like my new clients or people who are just coming on board. They're like, oh my bleepity bleep. Like, what do I do with this? And it's crazy. The way you do it is you play the long game and you play the short game, right? So in your content marketing, in your social media marketing, in your email marketing, you're playing the long game, right? You're creating that persona that people, like if somebody just goes to my Instagram right this second and just scrolls my Instagram, you know, feed and everything and looks at it, they'll get a sense of who I am really quick. That's the long game. They're able to look at back 3, 4 months, a year, 2 years, and kind of see the evolution of my brand, right? So they'll kind of get to know me. The long game is the email marketing. Once they've joined my list and I'm in their inbox every, you know, twice a week or whatever. The short game is them attending a webinar, right? Or attending a class or coming and jumping on a sales call. That's where you have to have that personality that really people can connect with and be that open and transparent and authentic self. And so you're trying to marry the two. And trust me, it is a balancing act, right? Because you're always looking at the two going, how do I support the long game? How do I get people to know me, build that know, like, and trust, see me authentically? Like if you go to my Instagram right now, there's a picture of me, you know, no makeup, doing yoga, right? And talking about how I love it and hate it in the same breath.
Yeah, same. I do that all the time.
Right?
No makeup, no filter. Hashtag.
Hashtag no filter, right? Yeah. Yeah. Look cute, might delete later. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And but at the same time, I'm posting about a challenge that I'm launching. So I'm doing the short game there. It's this crazy, crazy balance that people find it interesting to navigate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. And that's a good answer because in my head, I was like, I can't do both. They are mutually exclusive. But with what you said, they're not mutually exclusive. They're two separate goals. And, you know, with everybody looking at trying to like diversify what they're doing, like where am I supposed to spend my energy? Like nobody expects that you just focus on one specific thing and just only do that one thing. And if you're trying to build an audience, it's like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. You've got short-term, long-term, and you can absolutely balance the two. Don't focus on one too much, but you can do both.
Correct.
You can do both. Okay,
here's
cool.
A really great example. Clubhouse.
Yeah.
That's short term. It's okay. Also a little bit of long term.
Okay.
But it's short term because it's in the moment. They're not recorded. Once it's gone, it's gone. And you're building followers. But the long term of it is if you do it with consistency, you build up followers. And when you show up, people will actually show up for you. But you have to, you're balancing out what the platform provides, which is a recording that, or a, like a moment that disappears when it's over, a room that disappears when it's over, versus the build up my followers and when I go live, people will see me. So there's a FOMO, I better show up, I better hear Michael talk, because once it's gone, it's gone. And the long term, which is I'm going to go and start following him on Instagram, I'm going to start listening to his podcast because he mentioned it, and I can watch that or listen to that in my own time, mm-hmm. right? So which feeds both things. It's the short term and the long term.
Hmm. It's intriguing. It makes me wish I had an iPhone because then I could get on Clubhouse. I have an Android phone. They're not helping us out yet, but
iPad?
No iPad. There's no Mac, anything in our house. I'm sorry. We're just none of that. None of that ecosystem. I'm out. I'm not one of the cool kids. Sorry.
We'll get there.
We'll get there. Don't cry for me, Argentina. We'll get there. Well, what do you wish someone told you about marketing like 5 years ago? It's not terrible long ago. What do you wish somebody told you about marketing 5 years ago?
I wish somebody told me 5 years ago to show up a lot more than I was 5 years ago. If I had put in the effort that I'm putting in now, it's kind of like investing in your retirement.
Mm-hmm.
If I had put in the work 5 years ago, more so than I did, I'd be really getting some of those dividends now. And right. I didn't do it as hard as I wanted to. right? Or needed to, or could have, or whatever the case is. So now the stuff that I'm doing now will benefit me 2 months, 6 months, 2 years, 5 years down the line. But I wish I was doing it at the level that I am now back then.
Well, were you capable of doing it at the level you're doing it now back then? Okay.
No, I wasn't.
So you were still at, 100% then. You were still, right?
Yeah. You know how your capacity for more grows the more you do?
Yeah.
Right? I thought I was at 100% then. Jenny now looks at past Jenny and goes, dude, what the F are you doing? Like, you could totally, you know, like, what are the excuses? What, how many excuses? I said this to my mentor the other day, my partner slash mentor, because he's all the things. Mm-hmm. And I said, I have been giving myself a hall pass. Yeah. I have been giving myself such a hall pass in various facets of my life, both personal and business. And past Jenny, 5 years ago, Jenny definitely got some hall passes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Stuff that I would never do now, you know? And so I wish somebody had told me to future plan and future pace what things could have been like if I had put in, or maybe worked smarter is the better way of looking at it. If my capacity couldn't do it back then, maybe I could have worked smarter back then and gotten more accomplished.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I wish somebody had told me to hire the right people for a team, as opposed to trying to do the whole kit and caboodle by myself, even mm-hmm. though I'm capable. I've got the knowledge, I got the chops, but should I actually be doing it?
Yeah, and you have a team now, right?
I have a small but mighty team. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Those are the best ones. You feel like the A team. You're like, yeah, you can run out and do anything. And
I loved the A team.
Yeah, we still do. Our girls watch that show. It's great. They name themselves. We got our 4-year-old. She's BA, and it's like she. So she's the total opposite of BA, but she'll like, she runs up and just punches me. She'll just punch me in the butt. I'm like, stop it. And she's like, wham, wham, wham. And I'm like, good Lord, this kid is something else. I took her to the gym not too long ago and I'm like, here, punch on the punching bag. Have fun. Knock yourself out, literally. And she's just wham, 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 hitting on it and stuff. She was having a blast. But yeah, when you have a small but mighty team, it's like, you know, you can come to them with stuff and you can trust them in that you've got the vision and the mission like ingrained into them, and you know they're going to rock sucks, and you know they're going to grow while they're doing it. They're going to improve, and you get to have a hand in that. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. It's really cool. I mean, I'm struck by your answer to the last question, right? Like, I hope you're not living life with regrets or anything. Are you like, oh, shoulda, woulda, coulda? Yeah, you know, I mean.
No, I've put that to bed mostly. Like, I've let that go.
Good, good.
But I do look back and think I could have worked a little bit smarter and planned a little bit better. I think I'm not a perfectionist, but I'm a hard bleep on myself. Like, I'm hard on myself.
Yeah.
And I'll look back and go, dude, what the heck? What were you thinking? And right. I don't want to go too deep into that, because then you're just sitting there, you know, beating past Jenny up, and past Jenny got beat up enough mentally and never like kind of stuff. Like, she doesn't need it anymore. But I also, at the same time, I have to look at that as the lesson that it could be and what I could do for the future. But no, I'm not living life with regret per se, but just the lessons. And I use it as a way, hopefully, to train and help clients.
Okay. That's good. That's good. And I'm the same way. I think there's something about entrepreneurs that we all seem to be either overly hard on ourselves, or we figured out how to not be, you know, and there's no in between. Right. But I mean, yeah, sometimes I think, oh, why didn't I do X, Y, Z? And it's like, well, because I didn't know about it. Yeah. There's some piece of knowledge, or somebody wasn't in my life back then that I just didn't know. And it's easy to like project your now self on your past self, and your past self is like, dude, I didn't know. Like, you're going to fault me for not knowing something? Like, yeah. I get pissed off when people laugh at other people for not knowing things. It's like, everything that we know about that we think we learned on our own, it's like, it's been given to us by someone, and you're going to laugh. But then I laugh at myself for not knowing something back then. It's like, I'm a huge hypocrite. And then I'm like, nah, I can't be doing that. I can't be doing that.
No, so, I do it too.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, I'm glad we have at least one thing in common, and we're also in marketing. Hey, right.
Yep, well, absolutely.
Yep. Well, so I always ask this last question as kind of a ploy to get people to listen to the podcast and think, ooh, what kind of killer marketing tip would this guest have today, right? So Jenny, what if you had one tip that you could share, like if you just had a half a dozen marketers, junior marketers come up, Miss Jenny, tell me something cool. And what would you tell them that would just like blow their minds? Like,
just one thing.
Yeah, just one thing.
One little thing. Build relationships. More than you think. We tend to be, as entrepreneurs, we live in vacuums. Mm-hmm. We work in vacuums.
Right.
And this astounds people when I say it. They're like, but I already am friendly. I'm like, no, you're not. It's not the right thing. You have to create these professional relationships where it's like, I want to build a relationship with, like you as an example, I build a relationship with you and I'd be like, Michael, dude, I've got this thing happening. You know, hey, what do you think? Do you think it's something that your people would like? Or I'm looking for speakers for my summit. Are you in? Or, hey, let's do a podcast swap where I'm on yours and you're on mine, right? Building out those relationships, because if you can, and people call it masterminding, I call it building a street team or building out my JV relationships. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, if you can take the time to build those relationships, you'll actually accelerate faster because you're all keeping each other buoyant, right? And those are the things that are going to help. If you're living in a vacuum, if you're working within this like little sphere, nobody can come and touch you. And you're just trying to do it all yourself because that's your personality, which by the way, a lot of us do that. Mm-hmm. Then it's going to be, you're adding more struggle than you need.
Right.
Right. And so you can't have that fear of, but she's my competitor or he's my competitor. There's enough people out there for all of us. And I don't approach marketing the same way that you approach marketing or the same way that the next person approaches marketing. I don't treat my clients. Like we all do it a little bit differently and we all have a different skill set. Mm-hmm. And there's always going to be clients for us. You know, stop worrying about the poaching and the they stole my idea stuff. Like align yourselves with people that are going to help keep you buoyant and support you, because the down days are the days where you need somebody to go either give you a little bit of a hall pass, like I was talking about earlier, and give you a little permission to have a little bit of a pity party for 10 minutes and then suck it up, buttercup, which is one of the things I like to say, suck it up, get to the desk, start doing the thing. Right. Yeah. And I have that, but for a long time I didn't. And I would absolutely recommend that a lot of people do it.
Okay.
It's not a killer marketing tip, but I think it's a long-term success tip.
No, it's a killer marketing tip. Quit downplaying. You said you weren't going to do that, and then you're doing it on my show. Shame.
Sorry.
I'm kidding. I'm calling you out, Miss Jen A. Well, that really is good, and that's something that I think a lot of people just assume like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to market. I'm just going to go out there and do the thing. And it's like, now you got to be strategic about it, and people buy from those that they know, like, and trust, as you said earlier, but in order to get to that know, like, and trust factor, you have to build a relationship. And that's really where the rubber meets the road. So I'm glad you said that. I'm glad that's the one thing you picked. You could have picked seven, but that's what you went with. It's good. It's a good one.
Thank you.
It's a great one. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Well, how would people reach out to you? Because you know your stuff. And if people wanted to come to you for advice or for business or something like that, like what would be the way to do that?
I'm pretty accessible. People can find me. You can find me on my website, which is currently under a rebrand at the time that we're recording this, but hopefully it'll be done soon. It's jennywright.com. Check that out. And if you want to, I actually have something where you can get into the next thing that I do, which is I always do these really good challenges, usually almost every quarter. jennywright.com/challenge. There's a little squeeze page there. You can pop your information in and I'll let you know the next time I have one. Because those are awesome. They're fun, highly interactive. So that would be good. I have my own podcast that I host with my friend Allison Lex. It's called System to Thrive.
Oh, cool. Wait, yeah. What's it called?
System to Thrive.
System to
Thrive. Thrive is an acronym. And it's a podcast that my friend Allison Lex and I created during the pandemic to keep us moving forward.
To keep you not being bored also, right?
Oh, there was, yeah, it was the boredom, but also the fact my friend Allison lost some clients. I lost some clients. We were feeling really, you know, I was in major isolation because I'm one of the people that is just has a medical condition that I've just got to be aware of. And it was, everything was just kind of feeling poopy, right? Yeah. So, and this was in May or June, and we just, in 30 days, we had a podcast up, and it's been going, you know, gangbusters since then, and we've been loving it. But yeah, that's our podcast. I'm so happy about it.
Well, that is so cool. Congrats. Mm-hmm. Congrats. I may know some people that might want to guest on your show. I mean, I was, you know, I'm meeting people, and some people are like, hey, wait a second, this person and this person, I think would get along really good. So let me know.
I think you should come on the podcast.
I was going to ask, but I wasn't going to be forward, but yes, if you'll have me, I'd love to be on. Thank you. Thank you. You made that easy for me. I appreciate it. I was
no
like,
problem.
Okay, hashtag awkward. How do I broach this up? And just wanted to come on. It's like, that's easy. Thank you.
There you go.
Awesome. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you today, Miss Jenny, and I look forward to getting this out there on my own podcast, and it will be up very, very soon. I think you'll be surprised how fast it'll go live. Okay.
Awesome. I'm excited. Thank you so much.
All righty. Well, take care and have a good rest of the day. Stay safe. All right.
Thanks. You too.
Bye-bye. Hey, listener. Hopefully you learned something really cool in this episode. Marketing is a big, big area and can seem overwhelming, but hearing from experts like today's guest helps demystify it. If you learned something, consider telling your friends about the Elite Marketing Tips podcast here on anchor.fm or anywhere you consume podcasts. We appreciate your listenership.